From NPR News, this is All Things Considered. I'm Robert Siegel.
And I'm Michelle Norris, with the story of a major record label as it faces a fast-changing music business. After being absorbed by a giant media conglomerate and spun off again, Warner Brothers is now the third-largest record label. And as NPR's Netta Ulaby reports, it's looking at the digital domain as a key to its future.
A band called The Sun has just released its debut album entirely on DVD. Blame It on the Youth is comprised of 14 music videos. You can't buy it on CD. Warner Music expects you to play it on your computer. I stop to think about the bad times that I've had. With a smile on my face, warm with the breath of the sad. The band was signed 3 years ago. The musicians became frustrated by how long it was taking for their album to come out. So they amused themselves by making videos with a friend in their hometown of Columbus, Ohio. Warner was impressed by how many they produced on a small budget, so the band proposed making one for each song.
And they decided that they thought it was a good idea, and they found more money for us to finish up the videos so that we could get them done in time for this fall release.
Sam Brown is The Sun's drummer. He also writes some of the band's songs.
Being on a major label, you have access to, you know, a little bit more money than you would if you were just making videos on your own, so it definitely made it possible for us to, you know, make 14 videos.
Brown says those 14 videos cost about $50,000. That's a fraction of what it might take to make one video for a star. The Sun's DVD was a cheap experiment for Warner Music at a time when the company is trying to reinvent itself. The label began in the late 1950s as a way for a major Hollywood studio to showcase the musical aspirations of stars like Tab Hunter.
Jealous heart. Jealous heart stop beating.
It took a while for Warner Brothers Records to hit its stride. But by the 1970s, Warner had built a reputation as the most artist-friendly of the big labels. And its roster ranged from Frank Zappa and Jimi Hendrix to James Taylor and Fleetwood Mac. By the 1980s, Warner had absorbed such well-respected labels as Atlantic, Elektra, Asylum, and Sire. Its artists included R.E.M., Madonna, and Prince. Warner executives Mo Austin and Lenny Waronker were among the most powerful in the business. Then, Warner Communications merged with Time Incorporated in 1989, which merged again about a decade later with AOL. A wave of consolidation overtook the music industry. After the dust settled, two labels, Universal and Sony BMG, controlled the majority of domestic music sales. So last year, AOL Time Warner spun off its once-vaunted music division.
They were basically dead weight inside of the Time Warner corporate edifice.
Aram Sinreich co-founded Radar Research, a firm that analyzes media and technology. He says Warner's new owners, a group of investors led by Seagram's heir Edgar Bronfman Jr., faced a challenge.
He's a young guy with new ideas and a big ego and wants to run a record label, and that's part of what motivated him, but actually does care about music as a product, even though he comes from a liquor background. Gets together his friends and buys the label off of this fat cat corporate entity. They slice costs, they fire a bunch of people, they fire a bunch of artists, terminate their contract, cut it down to like just bare nothing, start to stabilize the blood flow, and then they announce all these digital initiatives and are really trying to kind of reinvent what a record label is. I mean, that's the arc of the music industry right there in that story.
Warner Music made a public stock offering last spring and paid off its investors. This upset some of the label's artists. The band Linkin Park accused the company of putting money before music.
That's to be expected.
Bishop Cheen is an analyst with Wachovia.
Name an industry where there's not a lot of friction, where there's a lot of dollars.
And Warner Music is spending them in the digital domain. The company has announced a deal with MTV to put videos on cell phones. It's launched a wireless streaming music subscription service, and it recently named a top executive to handle digital legal affairs. Those are the choppy waters of copyright and proprietary technology that have caused the music industry to founder online. Warner Music also lured a legendary record executive out of retirement, who bluntly questions the industry's approach to matters such as file sharing.
I understand that you don't want people stealing your music, but at the same time, I think we could have recognized that the Internet was an important force and used it ethically and to great effect.
Jack Holtzman founded Elektra Records in 1950 as an independent folk music label. He went on to launch the careers of Judy Collins and The Doors. Now, at 74 years of age, he's launching a new online-only e-label for Warner Music.
When I started to design the e-label, I tried to block out all of my past experience, but there were certain lessons from the past that became very clear to me. The frequency of interaction between an artist and their fan base by continual release of records, keeping the costs low, having a methodology of releasing that would let us use our medium to introduce our material to people.
Corpus Records won't feature big names from the Warner catalog.
You're 35, two kids, black thighs, but I don't care.
Jihad Jerry and the Evildoers is fronted by a founding member of the band Devo. Cordless will concentrate on newer artists, releasing their music in what Holtzman calls clusters of three songs. And when it comes to certain industry norms long despised by musicians, Holtzman promises change.
The fundamentals of the Cordless agreement is that the total contract length, if we exercise all of our options and if the clusters are delivered on time, is 21 months. The artists own their masters, and if they publish with Warner Chappell, they own their copyrights.
Another convention Cordless may challenge is the industry's wisdom on hits. Analyst Bishop Cheen.
This is a business where you can leverage an entire label off of one hit.
But that's been less true so far with online music. Jack Holtzman says he's not even thinking about hits.
There is no hit model. There's only good music, and if it catches on, maybe it becomes a hit. But I don't know what a hit is for an e-label. I don't know what those metrics mean yet. We will find out over time.
Warner Music CEO Edgar Bronfman Jr. told a recent conference the industry's paradigms are changing. Digital revenues now account for 6% of his company's business. And in the wake of several fights with artists over royalties, Bronfman hinted support for a new open standard for managing digital rights, one that foregoes royalties altogether. Netta Ulibi, NPR News.